Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Well, welcome back once again. My name is Steve Norman, filling in for Rachel Herbeck on Burning Hearts. And once again, I'm joined by my friend Chris Baker. Welcome back, Chris.
All week long.
It's a blast. We work together for Renewal Ministries. We work alongside Rachel in different capacities. And with this opportunity with Rachel doing mission work in Rwanda, Chris and I have been able to kind of discuss. We had free rein of what to discuss, which was a scary proposition at the beginning. But it's been a joy to what we've decided to do is to explore John Paul II's encyclical, trying to form seminarians, but looking at it as laymen of how does this document apply to us? Could it apply to us? So we're going to continue. We're going to dive right in. About 2 days ago, we looked at what JP2 meant about human formation. And then yesterday, we talked about his idea for spiritual formation. And today, which I'm very glad you're here for, we are going to look at intellectual formation. And so right off the hop, right at the beginning of this section in this encyclical, JP2 says this about intellectual formation. He says, it is a fundamental demand of the human intelligence by which one participates in the light of God's mind and seeks to acquire a wisdom which in turn opens to and is directed toward knowing and adhering to God. So Chris, my question is, what kind of intellectual formation is JP2 kind of getting at? I don't think he's talking about learning business models per se, or learning new fads or trends or stock market, you know, just any old type of intellectual formation. What is he getting at here?
Well, I think what JP2 was getting after, as I read through it, was just that the mind of the priest, like, you know, kind of mentioned, or mind of all of us really, would be illumined by truth. You mentioned the light of truth, right? And so with this light, there must be a purpose for it. And that purpose, since we know that these are actually culminating in the pastoral, there is a purpose to growing in the mind of Christ, to know the mind of Christ. And it's not just to know it. It's not just to have information, but to actually apply the information. And so the ability to actually preach credibly in an age where people are very skeptical, you know. And so that ability to have a mind that knows Christ's mind on the world, on family, on how you live your life, to be able to preach that credibly is very important. So I think the things that support that, right? So philosophy, theology, anything that you see is really geared towards presenting the gospel to the world in a way that is credible and true and is marked with the authenticity of your life being in it.
Right. Yeah, the authenticity, not just so that you can showboat and win an argument or twist someone's arm to believing and following Jesus, but more so, like you said, it's for the service of others. JP2 specifically says, for the salvation of brothers and sisters, that they should seek an ever deeper knowledge of the divine mysteries. It's like our intellectual formation and coming to know the mind of God is so that we can help others know the mind of God. Like, the reason why we're learning and getting to know him is, yes, because he is good and true and beautiful. It's good to know the Lord, and so we can love him better, but then so that we can help others to do the same. And you also hinted in there this idea of the ever-changing, the different opinions and people's skepticism, and that in this world there is the reality. There's what is true today is true, not true tomorrow, and depending on what, you know, circles you talk, there's different opinions and things coming along the way. Whereas we know, and JP2 writes, that the changeless gospel of Christ, right? The changeless gospel of Christ, and to make it credible and legitimate, is this gospel does not change. He does not change. He is forever. He is all things. And so it sounds like JP2 is really trying to get us, like, to root yourself, to cement yourself, to plant yourself on this foundation so that you can be a beacon to those who are maybe being swayed. Would you say that's fair? Those who are being swayed out in the culture?
Yeah, I think there's a good point here that we could maybe nuance, which is, yes, it's meant for something to be learned, to be taken in so that you can convey that gospel message, the good news to the world. I think it could be slightly twisted by some to where it maybe is more of a cold abstraction. We're looking to start a fight with people. Maybe we love going to Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner or, you know, summer gatherings, and we love being the one to kind of pick fights with our siblings or our aunts and uncles or whatnot, our friends even, where we think because now we are armored with some truth, we can kind of pick the fights and we feel good about it. And that's actually not the purpose of knowing the mind of Christ,
right?
It's actually more faith-seeking understanding rooted in or ordered to love of Christ and his church. And so it absolutely has a component which is to preach the gospel, but to do it not to be right or to kind of like pat ourselves on the back for knowing it and being able to win an argument, but rather to win souls for Christ.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I cannot unfortunately speak too much from personal experience, but yeah, it's like I would almost rather lose this argument if it meant that I'm not going to communicate the love of Christ for you. Again, I'm going to stand up for truth and I will say what is true. I have no problem. But again, in the greater scheme of things, this is not about me. This is how can I help you, your mind, your life, your heart get closer to the Lord. And to make that a priority seems to be JP2's priority when forming ourselves alongside in the mind of the Lord. Now, I wanted to know your thoughts because JP2 quotes St. Augustine here. And I feel like this, I did think of you a little bit when I read this quote here. It says that Augustine bore witness. He said, "I wish to see with my mind what I have believed, and I have argued and labored greatly." And so I just think of the effort required. I mean, when you think of theology, when you think of philosophy, sacramental, moral theology, I mean, dogmatic, you can go on there's so much. We have 2,000 years of church history, let alone all the things we brought in prior to that, right? From scripture, like, the effort required, how do you not get overwhelmed by it, feel it's like a burden, it's too much, there's no way I can do that, while at the same time heeding what JP2 is saying, and like, this is necessary for the sake of loving others and for loving God.
Yeah. So it's funny because, you know, from a maybe personality standpoint, I've always sought to be someone who learns. I've always enjoyed the process of learning. And I think what's interesting is that to progress in life, right, to not just sort of stay at the same level, we need to be learners. And one of the things, as soon as you start to try to learn anything, especially in today's day and age, with access to the internet and, you know, ChatGPT, which can summarize the entire internet for you on any topic, there is so much there that can be absolutely overwhelming.
Right.
It can actually kind of dampen the fire of whatever started you down that path of learning in the first place, because there's information usually on both sides that sounds contradictory. There's so much information that it's like, well, how could I ever even get through this? And so to remember what the purpose is of learning, this is also not to pass a test. It's not to sort of kind of get a degree even. Right. Like, these are methods of learning that are pointed towards every day that you learn, you are better off for having learned it.
Right.
You now, ideally, if you're doing it through faith, seeking understanding, you are now more in tune with the mind of Christ than you were yesterday. And if you are, that's the win. That's the purpose. And that's enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think keeping that in mind can really kind of, yeah, I can take a break right now. I can walk away from this. This is a lot. I need to chew on this. I'm good. You know, and you might come back to and chew on the same thing over and over for really just trying to chew on it, right? And to not be afraid of the challenge, but to also to be okay with taking a break and recognizing, like, I'm not going to know it all necessarily, and I'm going to keep moving along. Now, that being said, JP2 highlights, he says, the intellectual formation of the future priest, or really for all of us, is based and built above all on the study of sacred doctrine of theology. And then he kind of goes on unpacking what he means by that. But in a nutshell, what do you think he's getting at here? Because you mentioned ChatGPT and podcasts, even the radio, all these different avenues. There's a lot of different ways to get information out there. But what do you think JP2 is kind of getting at here of a place of primacy?
I think the study of God, right? The study of God that is built on a personal knowledge of Jesus.
Right.
So it actually comes in knowing the one who loves you, that you can be able to love others. And I think similarly, to know that there is the one who created all things. He created all that there is to know. He is inviting you into that knowledge, granted in a limited, finite way.
Right.
And I think the love of Jesus at its root is what makes it less work and more a pursuit of something that's passionate, something that is desirable.
Right.
And just like anything that's passionate, that you're passionate about or it's something that is desirable, it's not all going to feel like, you know, running through a field of daisies. Like,
right.
It's not going to feel good all the time. But that's where the human formation earlier on lends itself to this growth, is that you cooperated with Christ in building the discipline to show up even when it doesn't feel good or even when you don't really want to. Because that discipline to show up and then to spend time getting to know the mind of Christ is really where the fruit is born.
Yeah, and you mentioned the human formation and how that helps us to keep on track and to persevere and to stay at it and all those benefits that come from being well-formed humanly. And then going back to yesterday talk about spiritual formation of this intimacy with the Lord, it's I want to know him more. And the more I get to know him, I see how good he is and how he has more. The ever newness we talked about of there's always more he has in store. And I want to know him more. And I think JP2 is kind of getting at that primarily of sacred doctrine, of theology. For me, it's like the primacy of obviously scripture. It is the prime way with the sacraments of how he has chosen to reveal himself to be known by us. And so then to look to scripture, but then to look to commentaries and reflections and the church fathers to really unearth it. Because at the end of the day, this is what it's about. It's all these things, the rich history. The Lord has helped, you know, great minds and even simple minds to write over the centuries so we can come to know him, so we can be more in love with him today, know him more today. And yeah, if we go out there and we are called to defend the faith and to, in the face of lies and heresies, to defend the truth, then we're more equipped. That also, to feel competent in those circumstances feels great. It brings a sense of confidence and it's a good thing to do, but that is not the goal. Yes, to expel fear and doubt and darkness is part of it, but that comes out of being close to the light and bringing more of him, the light, into this world, right? So I think that's a great point. This is all not the point that I just made, the point that you just made, that the human, the spiritual, all of it is connected to glorify him. So in our last minute here, Chris, is there kind of one more, any nuggets that for you in this document, JP2's intellectual formation really stood out?
So as I was reading through, you know, this section of the document, I think what stood out to me is the journey that we've been on in our men's group and trying the different ways of setting goals and habits that align with this. And I think we've, you know, definitely evolved our understanding of it over the last couple of years. But just the ability to be really sort of strict or like draw the line in the sand to say, no, this is intellectual formation, the way that JP2 laid it out,
right,
that leads to formation that is rooted in love of Christ.
Right. Yeah. Me learning how to draft a better fantasy football team is not necessarily what JP2 was talking about. Although, you know, I like to think he would want me to do well. But anyway, we'll keep that for another day. For now, we'll wrap up. And we look forward to kind of culminating in what all these three past days have kind of led us to, which is tomorrow's look at JP2's understanding of pastoral or apostolic formation. So we look forward to that and we'll see you tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.